meeting to order. All please rise.
Join me in the salute to our flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. Our clerk will now take the roll call.
Councilmember Watson, present. Councilmember Olson.
Here.
Councilmember Ingram.
Here.
Councilmember Mutchler.
Here.
Councilmember Birch.
Here.
Councilmember Goodrich.
Here.
Okay, Councilperson Hansen has requested a excuse for tonight. So
moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded by Councilperson Goodrich. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No. Motion carries 6-0. Okay. Public comment period. So we're missing our one guest. That might be good.
Well, he called and asked for an excuse.
He called me too.
He called you too.
Okay, well,
tonight's his band of brothers
meeting. Our bylaws do not require an excuse absence for public commentary.
I just thought it was hilarious.
Nice that he asked. It's not the first time he's asked. So anyone else like to come forward on the public commentary?
Talk about your local
anyone. Anyone? Can we still okay, moving on.
Before,
what's that?
Can we still grant it till the end of the year?
I don't think it would
make a difference. We can move our meetings to Tuesday nights.
I don't think it would make a difference. Okay, the consent agenda is before you.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, so Councilperson Olson and Councilperson Ingsman. Okay, all in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed. Motion carries 6-0. Moving right along. Okay, Land Disturbance Development Standards Revision, and this is an ordinance.
It is. Good evening, Council. Good evening, Mr. Mayor. Lori Burnett, Community Development Director. So we are proposing to you tonight, it is actually two ordinances, I believe. One of them is for Chapter 1 of the Development Standards, which is basically the administration section of those standards, and the other is changing Chapter 13, which is our land disturbance standards. So just really briefly, Council has asked just today, what's the status of the Public Works Director? One of the things that we as staff want to do is make sure that when the next Public Works Director comes, that they can get up and running relatively quickly so that they are not entering into a situation where they're needing to resolve as many things as they could possibly resolve on their first day. So one of the things that has come up repeatedly over the years are development standards, which detail how you build infrastructure, how you review infrastructure projects and things like that. Those haven't been updated for several years, since 1995 in some cases, and they're starting to show their age. So what we wanted to do was to go through Chapter 1 and Chapter 13 and resolve some of those outstanding issues, basically just update them, not necessarily dramatically change policy, but give it so the next Public Works Director can take it from a good point and get it to a better point. Just a couple of high points. Chapter 1, we look at making sure that we clarify the process for appeals and variances. Chapter 13, we do not have any standards right now for clearing proposals. If you're clearing trees from your property, it's concentrating primarily right now on land disturbance and exposing soils. We are proposing to add in some clearing provisions, also putting in the basis from which our staff can add conditions to the review permits. It's based on the city of Mount Vernon's, which has served them quite well. We think that it's a good first step. Again, we're going to have a chance to go back through, tweak it as necessary, but we do recommend approval. So happy to answer any questions you might have.
Questions for staff? Councilperson Goodrich?
Do you want two separate motions or just one motion to cover both?
An approval of the agenda bill will cover both, I believe.
I make a motion that we approve agenda bill 1509-002.
Seconded by Councilperson Olson. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 6-0.
Thank you, Council.
Okay, we're going to just have you keep standing right up there. Fee code amendment. No, you're not going to do that, are you?
No.
going to be Riley. You have to have a bow tie to present this one.
Susan assembled.
I will decline to present it.
You know, not very many people are following you in the bow tie thing.
That's because I'm just ahead of the curve.
Okay.
So, you guys have seen this multiple times at this point. Now it's all formalized and ready to be put into the fee code. A reminder for our vast studio audience. This would set the nonprofit community rate for renting the Pioneer Pavilion at 50% of the current rate for a community event. It would define half a day as 4 hours instead of 3 hours, just to make that a little cleaner. It would raise renting the meeting room price from $10 to $25 an hour, and it would require a special events permit if you're going to rent it, and kind of define that whole area.
You can jump on it if you want.
Again, these were things that were compiled, feedback from the council, feedback from the nonprofit community, and even the trains are excited about it. So
they are.
That's all I got.
Let me try and see if we'll change it.
Okay, any questions of staff on this? Councilperson Ingram has his hand up, and then Councilperson Birch.
Riley, how difficult would it be to just add a sentence that this ordinance covers Ferndale local nonprofits and national nonprofits with a Ferndale chapter only, so that people are not going to come up here from Bellingham and say, well, we're a nonprofit, we can rent it. No, it's for Ferndale. And Kiwanis is a Ferndale nonprofit. Lions Club's a Ferndale nonprofit. They just are chartered under a national thing, but they're local. We've got to, I just have a problem with this. I know we've talked about it to death, but it's a simple one-sentence statement.
Are you asking about the enforcement of that or the because I mean, we can add that sentence into the fee code in terms of the enforcement. It could get a little complicated to find.
I don't think it could get complicated. We all know who the local nonprofits are.
Right.
We all know who the national nonprofits are with a local chapter.
Then that is a policy choice they leave to the wisdom of the council.
So read it again. So, Susan, did you get the exact wording of it?
Yes.
You want to read it back so everybody's clear?
So the stating that nonprofits must be local or must be affiliated. Or if they're national, what did you say, nationwide?
They have to be local nonprofits or a local chapter of a national nonprofit.
Are you making a motion to amend the...
I will, yes.
Okay, let her get caught up.
Okay. So, that's a motion.
That's a motion.
So, Councilmember Ingram moved to amend the ordinance stating that nonprofits must be local or must be a local chapter of a national nonprofit organization.
I'll second. Second. Okay, there's a second. Okay, so discussion on amendment. Councilmember Bruce, you had your hand up, but you were going to probably talk on something else.
Yeah, something else.
Okay, Councilperson Goodrich, you want to talk on the amendment?
I kind of have mixed feelings about the amendment because I look at it as the pavilion as a tourist attraction type thing, and something that we have here in Ferndale that would attract other people and make Ferndale like the event center that's out there. I mean, there's a lot of people that rent the event center and have things. And so by eliminating it to just local things, I think there are
nonprofits
in Bellingham or something that may like that venue as a place to come. And we're saying, no, I'm sorry, you're not a local.
No,
but I think it sends a bad...
They're more than welcome to come. They just don't get the price break.
I think it sends a bad...
No, it doesn't send a bad thing. It's just telling them that this is ours. If you want to come here, you don't get the price break. It's pure and simple. Because if you check, when was the last time you saw a nonprofit rent the event center? They can't afford it. $2,600 a day, you're not going to get a nonprofit to rent the event center. So we're doing a favor for our nonprofits. Let's keep it our nonprofits. And if Bellingham wants to send a nonprofit up here, they pay the full ride.
Okay,
I can't support it.
I have Councilperson Wilson and then Councilperson Mutchler.
I feel the same way as Paul, and I've said that before. If we're going to finance it with Ferndale taxpayer money, by giving them a break, they should be regulated to the ones that we have. I don't see why Bellingham should get the benefit of less dollars to Ferndale because they're from Bellingham. So I will support the amendment.
It's Ferndale city limits, or what if the nonprofit was in our UGA?
I think UGA is fine. I don't have a problem with UGA. So or let's make it clean and simple. Make it the school district boundary.
That's big.
That's big.
That's big.
That's big.
So you can come from Lummi Island.
Does the second on your agree with that? That was what he meant to say, or
no.
Okay. Then keep it in the city limits. Then keep it in the city limits.
I would go with the UGA, but because that we intend to annex that at some point, in theory.
So would you agree that he...
No, that's fine.
I mean, Sam is somewhere like whack me over going, Gary, you're just destroying Robert's Rules of Order here.
We don't care.
You're changing your amendment to say it's...
So you're amending your amendment to say UGA.
UGA.
UGA, and your second agrees.
Yes.
So UGA, not UGA Reserve?
Oh, please. I'm just...
You're killing me, Smalls. You're killing me. Okay, Council Person Mutchler, let's discuss this.
Exactly. And I disagree with the amendment. Same concerns with Councilmember Goodrich. In part, I want to just try this thing the way we got it. We put a lot of work into this thing. Let's see if anybody wants to use it. If it seems to be a problem, we can change it later. But, you know, I think there are the famous rule of unintended consequences, which I think we just saw right here, is trying to figure out what do we mean by Ferndale. Let's just leave it the way it is, and I'm going to vote against the amendment.
Okay. Councilperson Olson.
How do you feel that it's okay for Ferndale taxpayers to finance a cheaper rate for Bellingham?
I don't share the premise, because they're paying a fee, and they're helping to support it by the fee. It's less of a fee, but they're still paying a fee.
So that's half the money that anybody else would pay.
But half of nothing is nothing. I mean, there might not be anybody renting that.
You could use that argument for a lot of things.
Exactly. But somebody is willing to rent it for a price, it may be half the price. I don't have a problem with it. Let's say if it is a problem for a while first.
We'll just go ahead and vote on the amendment and see where we land.
Okay. I'll go to Councilman Goodrich. I do have maybe a solution if it doesn't go or not. So Councilman Goodrich.
I would just respond. I've attended I attend some nonprofit events as a Ferndale citizen, either in Bellingham, or I've had groups from Bellingham come here and use the event center for nonprofit activity, and I've attended it as a Ferndale citizen. So just because it's a Bellingham group coming up here doesn't mean that there aren't Ferndale people attending it, like our Boys and Girls Club, when they do their fundraiser. Are those all just Ferndale people? No, they're Bellingham and the greater area that come to support that event. So just because the organization is outside of Ferndale doesn't mean the people attending are not Ferndale people. No.
No. Okay. And you go for a vote. In the back of your mind, I mean, we have, you've been explaining the parameters of what we're going to call the Pioneer Pavilion, I guess, Board of Directors or
Community Center Advisory Board. CCAB.
When are you bringing that to us, by the way?
That is coming to the Finance Committee, next committee meeting. Okay. And then if there's not strenuous objections, probably on the council
thing. Meeting. Did you just make up the CCAB thing, or it was Clint?
No. That was correct.
The CCAB.
There's nothing you can't reduce to a pithy acronym.
Yeah, CCAB. All right. Well,
so yes, that's coming to your next committee meeting with revisions from the...
So if it doesn't pass, maybe you could bring it and you could throw the responsibility deciding on the CCAB, where somebody, you have a layer of somebody deciding.
Well, something we can change.
All right, so let's restate what they're going to vote on so they know exactly.
Councilmember Ingram moved and Councilmember Olson seconded to amend the ordinance, adding a sentence stating that the nonprofits must be local or must be a local chapter of a national nonprofit organization.
Okay. Any further questions? Everybody hear that correctly?
So did the UGA go away?
I thought we agreed on UGA.
Ferndale UGA.
Then the amendment was amended.
Oh, sorry.
Ingram amended the amendment to make it state that it is the Ferndale UGA.
So under proper Robert's Rules of Order, we should vote on the amendment first,
yes.
Then the main.
Yes, all right.
So this is for the Ferndale UGA.
So this is for adding Ferndale UGA to the original proposal. Okay, all in favor of adding UGA, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
1, 2, 3. Did I count right?
I think so, yeah.
All right. Nay.
Nay.
So it's a tie.
I think you can break a tie.
Can I break a tie?
You can break a tie. It's not a financial, so you can break a tie.
But it
okay,
is.
Okay, I'm going to go. I'm
ultimately, it's financial.
Yeah, because if you go with bank to fees.
I'm to use the word UGA. That's what we were voting on.
Right, so I can't break a tie.
Not the whole amendment.
So the amendment goes away.
Right.
Because a tie means it doesn't happen.
Okay,
now we're to the main motion then.
The main amendment.
Yes, the main amendment. And everybody's clear on the main amendment?
Yes.
Okay, all in favor of that, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay, all opposed?
Aye.
No.
Okay, appears it failed.
2-4
2-4
Yeah, 2-4.
Okay. So now we're down to what you had written.
On fee code amendment.
Which is the fee code amendment ordinance before you.
As written.
Carol had a question.
As written. Councilperson Birch.
The chamber.
Yes.
Do they have to pay the $25 for their conference room as well?
The rental that's described in there is for the room that we're eventually going to be converting into a kitchen, I believe. It is
I
not
understand that. Or okay. Do they have to pay the $25, say, if they have their board
right.
meetings in that room?
That's a good question.
Yeah, but they're not leasing that.
Yeah, they would have to rent it just like anybody else. Yeah.
Otherwise, they have their own little conference room. In
yeah, they've got their own
right.
board room.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay, any other questions of staff or anything? Okay, ordinance before you, understand what's there. Okay, all in favor of the ordinance?
Do we have a motion on the original?
Yeah.
Because we had amendments. We didn't actually have an amendment. No, you're right. We did not make a motion that we accept the fee code as presented. Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Moved by Councilperson Goodrich, seconded by Councilperson Mutchler. Okay, any questions or discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Okay.
Oh, wait a minute, I screwed up. Put me with Paul. I expected it to be one
motion
six.
Is successful with a 4-2 vote.
4-2, yes.
Is this Ingram a vote that requires 5 because of the...
No.
It's
the majority.
If you have a quorum, then it's the majority of the quorum.
Okay. Okay.
Thank
well,
you,
good.
Council.
All right. That was interesting. Okay. We get Yori back up because we want to talk about sidewalk dining and encroachment permit policies.
So we have.
Wait a minute. We have a rule against texting during council meetings.
Only for council members.
Facebooking. We have a couple of ordinances for you. They can be approved through one agenda bill. We also have one chapter that we're asking that you adopt into the Ferndale Municipal Code. That's chapter 12.22, which is revocable encroachment and sidewalk dining permits. Want to explain really briefly why we wanted to put the two of them together and then talk also about the sidewalk dining permits. I'm not sure if there's anyone here in the audience that might want to discuss it as well. There may well be. Every day, practically, we get one or more encroachment permit requests. That's permission to do work within the city right-of-way or on city utilities. And 99% of them are straightforward. The person wants to do something that's in the best interests of the city and their own property. And Bo Westford and other staff process those, and they go on their way, and it's done well. About 1% or so of them come in where the requester has only their own interests in mind or does not want to, or what they propose could actually harm the city in some way. And probably less than half of those are doing it intentionally, but some of them are. And when that happens, we find that we
without having a revocable encroachment permit policy or code, sometimes have a tough time saying no. Where we might say no, but then having that no stick is tough, because people then argue, well, I'm the co-owner of that property because I'm a member of the public. You can't legislate taste to me. But it's different because we have the responsibility to maintain that infrastructure for all time. So what we are proposing is to add in for the first time revocable encroachment permit policies and review so that we do say, here's where we can deny your project if we need to, where the vast majority of times is we're going to be able to permit it, or we're going to say alter or perfect your application and we can approve it. Really not changing policy so much as putting down our existing policies in code. The other part of this proposal is to add in sidewalk dining permits within the city center zone. We've talked to the council committee about this a couple of times, where the concept is that nowadays if you go to almost any city, regardless of size, but especially the larger cities, you see that people more and more wanting to engage with the street, that they're wanting to people watch, basically. Whether or not they also get diesel fumes as part of the deal, or whether they get accosted to by Papa John as he's walking by, it's kind of up to them. But
they just want to sit out there and even laugh at the traffic.
Well, exactly. I think that that's a big part of it. Right now, our code doesn't allow for that, even though another part of our cap code, the downtown zone, kind of says, yeah, we like that engagement with the street. So at the request of the committee, we looked at a number of other jurisdictions that allow sidewalk dining. They were really similar as far as what they allowed and what they didn't allow. So we came back with essentially what most of those other cities allow and proposed that same thing. A couple different things for you to think about. It's in a city center zone only. It requires that there be a minimum life safety clear passage of 4 feet. That is going to automatically eliminate a lot of locations. Just our sidewalks are not large or not wide in a lot of different places. It's going to be self-fulfilling. We also require that you cannot put anything permanent there. You can't put in a wrought iron gate. You have to remove it at the close of business each day. You need to maintain that area during the time that it's open. Yes, sir.
Good Burger is not really on the sidewalk, are they?
Good Burger is
more like a patio.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And there are a couple of
wrought iron gates just flashed in my head.
Yeah. Right. There are a couple of locations, and for new development, we would allow and encourage this to devote some of their area for these types of uses. That's especially the case along parts of Main Street where you just don't have enough of the sidewalk, but if you made more of the sidewalk, you probably would have some. We would require that you re-up this each year. We can revoke it at any time. For instance, if there's a parade, or we can have you clear it out if there's a parade, if there's an emergency, and we can revoke it if we find that you're not complying. If you're not picking everything up at the end of the day, you lose your right because this is the public property, not the private property. It is only for sidewalk dining, no retail, no artwork involved at this time, though that might be something in the future. And then the last thing that we have in here is attaching fees for the review and inspection. So that's it in a nutshell. We do have a indemnification policy, so you need to sign that. So if you are a guest trip or if a member of the public trips and hurts themselves, you're indemnifying the city, and you're attaching us as an additional insured to a $1 million insurance policy.
Let's go. You said you had some in the audience might want to talk about this. Does anyone in the audience want to come forward and talk about this?
I don't know that you do.
Let's not look too excited out there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We'll move to council. Who wants to talk about this? We'll just go along the circle here then. We'll start with Councilperson Goodrich.
I know it's not a tie to this, but a thought came to my mind today when I was thinking about this. I know down in California, a lot of the restaurants that have or down from a high school reunion have sidewalk dining stuff. They also have valet car service where they have a little podium that they stuck out there in valet. Now, I know Ferndale, I don't see us getting to the point. But let's say Main Street Bar and Grill is having a big band or something that they could, you know,
do that and say, okay, and so you parking way down by the school, we're going to hire some guys to move, you know, take people's cars down there so there isn't something like that. Or, you know, Chihuahuas on a Friday night doing something, you know, along that line. I don't know if that would fit into this or if that's something entirely different. But I know the two of them down where I used to live seem to go together a lot now.
I don't know that this would necessarily impact that one way or another. I guess conceivably someone could come up, give their car keys to someone at Main Street, and hope that...
Well, they usually have a little, like the podium here, you know, there, and they can open up the door and all the keys are hanging inside, the, you know, so they're actually setting up a podium there and then blocking off part of the...
Find my car there.
For drop-off.
And they're in, you know, they're in the sidewalk.
Huh? They're on the sidewalk, yeah.
Well, I guess they could apply, I mean...
But that would also require them to take up, for the period of time that they were doing that, they would be required to have at least two dedicated parking places so that you could pull in and pull out.
Well, that isn't what our ordinance says, but it says they can apply for this. So I guess what the answer to you is if someone wanted to do that, they could come apply under this ordinance.
I just didn't know if it would fall under this or if that would be something, you know, someplace else.
Your thing is it could apply for that under this ordinance.
Mm-hmm. Because those businesses offer dining. If it was McKay's Antique Store, no.
It's a big valet business.
Valet party for the antique shop?
Is that sufficient answer for you? Okay. Councilperson Bursch?
Have you had anybody inquire on setting up outdoor dining so far?
We have had one over just at the Leader Block building, in fact. They had proposed something that would actually include some permanent installation where they would actually kind of anchor into the sidewalk. And that started us talking, saying, well, gosh, you know, our code being silent therefore prohibits, but this is kind of a cool idea, you know, maybe not exactly as proposed, but this is kind of a cool idea. Let's see if that's possible. And we actually invited that gentleman here tonight. He didn't respond, so who knows.
Also, well, did Mazatlan, before it was Mazatlan, they used to have a couple of tables out there.
Well, exactly, and because we have seen, it's great that that gentleman asked first. There are others that haven't asked and haven't really impacted, and that was one of the things where, sometimes from staff, something that comes that is unusual or we haven't been asked before, the initial reaction is no. But then we did talk internally and say, well, gosh, you know, Mazatlan Place, Checkered Apron, some others do have sidewalk dining, and has that really impacted? No, it hasn't. Well, why hasn't it? Well, because those sidewalks happen to be wide. And that's how we got here. Then we thought, we're talking a lot about this at staff level, but it might be that we bring it to council, and council says, absolutely no, never. And then that ends the discussion.
So take the Checkered Apron. I've seen a couple of tables outside. And so you're proposing for them to pay like $200 per table to get started.
That is actually with the Checkered Apron, we have a provision in here that exempts them from review if they utilize, I think it's less than 36 inches, and I'm trying to find it, of the right-of-way. And the Checkered Apron does use less than 36 because a portion of theirs is not in the public right-of-way. It's actually on their private property because it...
And that 36 inches applies to all businesses?
It would. If they're using... And I'm trying to find where it says 36 inches.
I don't remember seeing
it. It might be 24 inches. I'm trying to find the inches. Oh, on page 134... J, outdoor dining establishments on private property that encroach less than 24 inches, onto the public sidewalk during business hours are removed from the public right-of-way at the close of business each day and which do not obstruct pedestrian or motorist traffic are exempted from this. The Checkered Apron was one where when we went out and measured it, they are less than 24 inches into the public right-of-way. So they would be considered exempt from this. There's none that I'm aware of that have outdoor dining.
Are you measuring it from the building out to 24 inches?
I would be measuring actually the opposite, from the sidewalk
the curb
in.
4 feet. And they're allowed 2 feet into the 4 feet?
They would be allowed. So if I'm measuring from the sidewalk in, and if I know what the right-of-way distance is.
What is the distance in front of their shop?
Exactly what it is for Checkered Apron.
But it varies on Main Street.
It does. It varies pretty dramatically on Main Street, how wide the sidewalks are, and on a third as well. But so you would measure from the curb in, and that gives you the right-of-way. And then you would say, oh, gosh, you know, measure from the curb in, and it looks like you have your table, you know, that is in. Is it less than 24 inches? Yes, it is. It's removed at the close of business each day. Yes, it is. Good to go. And that, we put that in there intentionally because there are only a few cases where that is possible. Because really, we are talking about something about this wide, which is not a wide table.
No, there would be two people tables.
Yeah, there wouldn't be two people tables, yeah. It would just be the one person table. Checkered Apron, again, because of the unusual dimensions of their building, where they do kind of set back a little bit from the outer ribs of the building, they're one of the only places that could actually do that. And they do.
And they would not be assessed a fee at all.
No, unless, of course, they did want to put, you know, a double right. decker out there. If they wanted to change, then yeah. And, right. you know, good for them for having the business to do that.
Councilperson Metzler.
So your estimate for me, the number of businesses that could do this and not get past that four-foot right-of-way.
Four or five. Yeah, four or five.
It might be five. And then... You came up with a total fee package of $400 the first year. Do you mind breaking that down for us real quick?
Sure. So a normal encroachment permit costs $200. We recommend that the sidewalk dining permit would be $300. The reason why it would be a little bit more expensive is because unlike most encroachment permits where you build it and then you're done and then we'll never see you again, this has
regular observation. And
exactly.
But we have to walk through or something like that.
Yeah.
And then $100 was a second business license that would be separate from their original business license, I recall.
Correct. So sidewalk dining, you could not, the example I gave, maybe this is a slightly different one, you could not have a Bellingham business, let's say, food truck, come in and contract with McKay's Antique. You need to have...
Antique Puppies?
You need to have Chihuahuas or Mazatlan be the business that then has that sidewalk dining. So it has to be connected with one another. The additional business license is intended for... This is that expansion of the business in really a second location.
As I think you said in committee, to have a second license allows you to revoke the one, but not shut them down completely. It's happening separate. And then just to follow up with what Councilmember Birch was talking about, that one particular establishment, Checkered Apron, they have a little bit of space. If they're really, really skinny people, this would be a non-issue. But looking at reality, they're going to need to go a little bit in the sidewalk. So we're sort of saying if you go just a little bit into our right-of-way, 24 inches, we'll get you past it. But she could conceivably do double tables there and possibly go more. And then she had to pay the $400.
Exactly. And it so happened, again, that the dimensions of that location work for this exemption.
Yeah.
We wanted to find an exemption to effectively, you know, grandfather, I guess, some folks who had not caused a negative impact. So that we did not put them in a situation of them needing to pay the city for something that they've been doing for some time.
And for clarification, we're measuring the table and chairs, not the customers.
Exactly.
There are no butt sizes being.
Thank you, Mr. Burnett.
Just wanted to establish that. Didn't sound right. Came out first.
Must be this skinny.
Didn't sound quite right the way it came out.
I'm
glad
that I didn't pause.
All right, let's go.
Well, being hungry myself, I will move to approve Agenda Bill 15-09-004.
Okay. We have a second. We can continue the discussion, so there's a second. Further discussion?
I just had a couple questions.
Yeah, I don't know if we're there yet. Who's going to still inspect them to make sure that they're in their 2 feet?
I'm sorry, could you?
Who's going to inspect them to make sure they're within their 2 feet?
Kyle Huebner, our building inspector, and Maddie would also be inspecting. That would be part of the if we get five, you know, that would be one of the duties.
Our new compliance officer being Maddie.
Our nuisance
officer.
Okay, so there is going to be some expense, albeit minimal. Again, we're not charging them anything, even though we're going to have to shell out some expense to make sure they're in compliance, correct?
And that's what the $300 would be intended for. So,
oh, so they're going to, even the apron place, whatever, what'd you call it?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Checkered apron
is going to have to pay $300?
No, I'm sorry. Checkered.
Okay, that's what we're talking about here. The freebie ones, how we're going to still inspect them, correct?
No, I thought that you were talking about the other. What we would do is, on our normal day-to-day, you know, kind of glance by, oh, yeah, checkered apron's not in the middle of the road.
I don't think we really do that, though. I think nothing really gets done unless we bring it to somebody's attention because we don't have the personnel to drive around and look at stuff. So that concerns me.
Oh, that may.
She's only part
of it. Well, but similar to a lot of things, if it becomes, we react from complaints.
Right. The smoking enforcement part, we brought that up because somebody who usually sits here, his wife, has a business downtown that is just atrocious with their cigarette butts and their smoking, which violates the law within the 25 feet. Which nobody enforces. What are we going to do about that? Because I can see that occurring in two different places on Main Street, South Side.
I don't have a new answer from what we had at committee, which is basically the enforcement of the Clean Indoor Air Act. We don't have personnel on staff, at least at City Hall, that does enforce that.
I guess the chief was not in committee on that, but I don't know of any city in the state of Washington. Any city in the state of Washington do police react to smoking violations?
No, we contacted the health department originally. There was a complaint out of one of the bars on Main Street, and we contacted the health department. They have primary responsibility not to work in the municipality, and if they receive enough complaints, they will come out, actually look at it, and contact the owner.
And does the health department have citation ability on that? Interesting.
I don't know. They must have some enforcement.
They must have some enforcement.
Well, they have enforcement ability. I mean, I've encountered that where they have enforcement ability for health hazards in terms of sewer and water.
Last one is
so they must have citation ability for that, I guess.
Jory, we kind of mentioned the 4 feet that we want could be a lot less than our 4 feet with all the junk on the sidewalks that are free speech or whatever we were calling them. I'd like to see something addressed about those, that we have our free speech area, like at the, so that stuff can get moved and not taken away. It's going to be in a certain area so that the sidewalks, if you have to have 4 feet, are actually 4 feet and not 2.5 because we got a 18-inch newspaper box there for free apartments.
So you're describing if someone got an encroachment permit and said, okay, I'm creating this space, and then somebody infringed upon that space by having a free speech item that restricted what their space was? Is that where you're going with this?
I don't want them to be penalized. I like this. I don't want the restaurant owner to be penalized because somebody's dumped a apartment guy thing in.
Yeah, that's where I was going.
And so yet, if not for that freedom of speech issue, they would be able to do this. Can we move that yellow box?
Yeah, I see where he's going.
Right.
Yeah. Because now they're infringing on the the space.
We're not going to tell them they can't have their box. Your box is going to be limited to perhaps the peripherals of the skate park or something. That's going to be our first feature.
And
I'd just like to see maybe something down the road. I intend to vote for this. I just would like to clarify that up because I think some people are going to be impacted by that junk in the way.
And I don't think that this precludes us from making modifications in another chapter. So if another change needed to be made to allow us to reorient, we don't need to go back into this chapter.
What about, do we have any benches that are in the way of restaurants that might want to do this?
Potentially, but as we discussed, the couple places that I'm thinking of, well, one place might want the bench. The other place over at the leader block, there is a bench there immediately where he wished to do that. So that is another individual decision.
Well, I guess so. I'm going to speak for that, though. I mean, so that bench precluded their encroachment permit. So that's something that person is going to have to work out before we'd approve it.
Correct. They
accept the bench is there and it stays there.
And unless they could find, or we could find another location.
Yeah, it could be a little sticky.
You're not talking about they can keep their bench, but they can put their own table and use our bench for their customers.
No, I'm saying that okay. Before the encroachment permit would be permitted, say, you have a bench in front. What do you intend to do about this bench?
Aren't they our benches?
The city's benches. They're possession of the city, and so that person that asked for the encroachment is going to say, well, you're either going to have to deal with this, or if you're not going to deal with it, your space is now suddenly smaller. We're not going to, you know.
Well, in fact, they're the city's benches, but most of them were paid for and donated to the city, and they're located in a particular spot because that's where the person who purchased a bench wanted it to go. So I think there's going to be a movement. It would be a courtesy to whoever's plaque is on that bench to ask them.
Very true. And if something can't be worked out and the person says, no, I don't want it moved, the bench stays there. That's what I'm saying is the bench precludes the encroachment permit. And if that can't be worked out, then your space
My mind would tell me it would be a really unreasonable individual that would say, no, you can't move the bench to another sunshiny spot.
Yeah, ready.
That's all I have.
Okay. Councilperson Watson?
Just quickly. So the $300 fee is a one-time fee for the business?
Correct.
Does that stay with the business? So if you sell your business and it's still operating exactly the same, you still have the encroachment permit will stay with the business?
If the business can, you know, say if Joe bought the business but the business name is still the same, I would say it would continue.
Okay.
All of a sudden the business closes, and then there's another business comes there, different business, I would say no.
Exactly. Or if it's the same business and they're reorienting, you know, things substantially where now we're going to have a bar immediately at the sidewalk, whereas before it was right next to the building. It might still be allowed, but we would need to review it again.
So they'd have to pay another $300 to let you review it again. Mm-hmm. And so it's $300, and that would last for as long as that business does what that business does, and then another $100 for the first license, and then $70 each year.
Correct.
So $400 up front, and then $70 each year after?
Correct, and maybe our finance director can correct me. I believe that the majority of our business license fees are prorated in the year.
They open up in April. It's X months.
Okay.
Because they're creating a separate business on the sidewalk.
Okay.
Councilperson
Mulchie.
Okay.
I brought up a thought in my mind with something you just said. have we checked, or is it even our business to check? Maybe it's the business owner's business to check Liquor Control Board and find out what the regulations are for serving beer, wine, whatever on the sidewalk. Because I can see some issues there from what I know of Liquor Control Board.
They relax that liability. We go through this at Old Settlers when we get that permit. Is they drastically relax that liability, and then they put the liability, say for the fence on Old Settlers, we used to have two fences, and you but the holder of the license now has the liability. Yes, you have a fence, barrier. They don't even say the barrier can be as much as 3 feet high, 2 feet high. They said, so you are assuming the liability that if you're giving a drink to someone and they pass it over your fence into someone from the public, it's your liability. And that's why Old Settlers would make it taller and there because you can't watch everyone. But on the sidewalk, it would be the liquor license applicant, their liability if, okay, I can serve you a drink out here on the sidewalk, but if you pass it or give it to someone, a minor, you're assuming, the establishment is assuming the liability of a out-of-control customer. Could be fine.
One of the things that I found interesting, I was actually down in Seattle over the weekend, and we walked throughout a lot of neighborhoods, and what some of these establishments have done is often they're bars, and within bars, obviously, you can't have anyone under 21. But quite a few of them were able to have kids on the outside along the sidewalk because it was, again, a more familial atmosphere. So if you're famous for your oyster shooters or your ribs or something like that, the kids could be out there along the sidewalk. They can't go inside near bars, no one under 21 allowed past here. But so it does allow that kind of demarcation of experience within those individual businesses.
The Shakedown in Bellingham has a similar setup.
Yeah, and then they assume the liability of their fence doesn't really have to have any relation. That's the city. But Lex Trobert says, we don't care about height defense, but you assume liability for your customer.
And the 19-year-olds can see it on a broadband.
Yeah. Casper Smutzer.
Thank you. You know, this is the nice thing about this. It sounds like this is something that we all want. A lot of times we get something here that we don't quite have zoned for. Like I remember the airport parking. We weren't quite sure what to do with that. And so we sort of begrudgingly sort of figured out how to do that. This is something that we all want. We often talk about economic development in the downtown core. But I'm primarily concerned about the $400 fee. That may be nothing to some of these folks. It may be a game changer for others. And I'm not sure that's the best course of action for the city. You're looking at five businesses, your estimate, $400, $2,000 for the city. Kind of a drop in the bucket in the big scheme of things. I really like to see this thing work. And I'm prepared to, in the future, maybe with that encroachment fee might be really important. To me, having a restaurant on the sidewalk is different than a guy in a dump truck out in the middle of the field encroaching on city streets. And it's a kind of a different set of things there. I want to see this work. I want to see this happen. I want to be able to eat downtown. And I don't want $400 to keep us from doing that. So I'd like to make an amendment to the main motion that we remove the $300 encroachment fee. Again, we can add it later. And to reduce the business license fee to $50.
I second.
Okay, any discussion?
Let's make this thing happen. And if the encroachment is a problem, we can add the fee later.
Councilor Swanson?
Dory, can you explain how you came up with the $300? Did you do like the certain number of staff hours you thought it would take to go out and measure it and do the paperwork?
I looked at $200 for the encroachment, normal encroachment fee, figured that on average it would take about two visits to go out there. You did this right, no, you didn't do it right. Based on half hour time each time at $50, added that additional $100. So very non-scientific.
Okay.
Really estimating about 3 hours of total staff time on average to review the proposal.
But the motion is to have no fee.
No encroachment.
No encroachment fee. And also, but the business license would also be less.
50. I wanted, at the end of the day, $50 in and out the door. I want them to come in.
I want them to come to City Hall. I'm just, so what is the renewal fee then? The renewal fee would still be 70?
50.
I mean, he can make the friendly amendment to just add
50. Yeah, he can make it. 50 first.
Each year, come in, show your insurance.
0, 50, 50.
A regular business license is, I believe, $98. $98 a year.
But they already have a business license. This is a second.
No, I'm just saying that's what the regular one is.
There's a point of information.
Thank you. And you're still saying staff, you're still going with your staff recommendation?
Yes, however, this is, again, one of those policies where as long as council knows that staff staff would not be charging, and there might be staff costs that are not captured, then it's up to you.
Any further, Councilor Smersler?
The council can come back any time and add those fees. We can do anything we want. I mean, I'm just asking council, let's see if we can get this thing kickstarted, get it going, make it happen. One more thing, I meet with guys for coffee, and I kind of laid out the scenario to amateurs like the rest of us. And I said, what do you think would be, I said, maybe it's kind of a high fee. What do you think a high fee would be to be able to do the sidewalk dining? And I got two numbers. I got $35 and I got $50 total. And so when I gave them the number we were looking at, they were stunned. Now, these are just normal people, but you know, I think $400 just kind of hits you kind of hard. So let's try it out.
Okay, any further discussion on the amendment? Okay, everyone understand the amendment? Okay, voting on the amendment. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
3-3, so it's money. So 3 again.
Mm-hmm.
They'll pick the wrong day.
I can vote. I can vote. I can break a tie on.
It's money.
Money.
Oh,
money.
Sure. Okay. So it fails.
Just like the last one.
Yes, it fails. Yeah. Okay, so on the main amendment, everyone understand the main?
Or? 300, 100.
Yeah. Okay. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, motion carries. Okay, thank you, Dory.
Thank you.
Let's see if we can make that happen. Okay, we're down to mayor reports. I think Councilperson Watson started the trend. It's always good to throw something out and do... instill some competitiveness, and there's nothing wrong with our council people being more educated. So I'm pleased to announce two new Association of Washington Cities Certificate of Municipal Leadership. The Association of Washington Cities recognizes first Council Member Powell Ingram, City of Ferndale, for successful completion of AWC's Certificate of Municipal Leadership Training Program presented 8/19/2015 by Paul Roberts, AWC President. And again, AWC Certificate of Municipal Leadership, the Association of Washington Cities recognized Councilmember John Mutchler, City of Ferndale, for the successful completion of AWC Certificate of Municipal Leadership Training Program, presented 8/19/2015. Way to go. Good job, guys. Applause. So there's the gauntlet down. Y'all have to catch up now. So a little bit is, you're seeing a little bit of the paper, but I want to explain is the Small City Caucus got together and voted to present a statement to County Executive Louse that said, we have never said that Bellingham could never come back into the agreement. The premise was, or how it got presented was, we've made this choice, Bellingham can never come back in. We said, look, you... The small cities have to approve it because the agreement is in our hands. And all the small cities agreed to say, look, we'll allow Bellingham to negotiate. They can re-enter this agreement, but they're going to have to get it approved through us first. So it's a little bit different. And so that letter was sent with the executive, and I guess there's some movement. I think he's meeting tomorrow with the Bellingham City Council to say, do you want to change your chance? Do you want to change this? I think it's a good thing because, as I stated, whether you're Bellingham and you think diversion is going to work or you think a jail's answer, both of those need funding. And so we need to have this objective pass. And then if Bellingham wants to get back in, great. We would sit there and talk to them. We would bring it to you guys, and you would have the choice to discuss it. But I don't think any of us ever said locked in, no, Bellingham can never come in. That wasn't our objective. So hopefully that will go forward.
When do they have to have the wording in for the ballot?
Already in and done.
Well, then how are you going to alter what we passed because they want to play games?
The ordinance passed how it is, but... That doesn't say that we could come back and rechange the interlocal agreement. The voters have passed it in terms of to do that tax, and for right now, that Bellingham still, if it passes,
the wording doesn't say Bellingham.
Yeah. You're correct.
Yeah. Right now, the vote is scheduled. So if the vote passes and Bellingham decides not to join
in the construction of the new jail, Bellingham simply keeps the majority of the money that the voters approved through the sales tax.
Okay, so there's a suicide switch where Bellingham doesn't. If everybody does, we do the 521. If everybody, Bellingham steps out, we do the, I don't remember.
383.
Yeah, right. And the way the revised, the second interlocal agreement between all the cities, it just said any city participating is going to pay blah, blah, blah. So the interlocal agreement, assuming that Bellingham came in to the fold under the same terms, that is, they turned over the same percentage of their new sales tax as all the other cities, nothing has to change. Only if Bellingham wants to come in under different conditions, different parameters than the other small cities, would they have to come up with a separate deal between the county and Bellingham, and they would probably need to revise the agreement they have with the rest of the cities.
But that wouldn't necessarily affect the ballot.
Right, the ballot's independent. Yeah.
If they want to hijack it again, I'll use that term, for diversion, then how is that money going to be offset?
They could not until they got approval of the people that have signed the interlocal.
Yeah.
But we have signed off on this one.
Correct.
I don't understand how we're going to be voting on, or everybody's going to be voting on it in November on this one.
Correct.
So how do we alter this one?
We're not voting on
the can't.
Yeah, the word is voting on the sales tax.
They can't.
And if Bellingham wants to come into the same terms and conditions as the other cities have already
approved, how about this? They change it so drastically, they piss off everybody, and we bail out after we've already voted on it in November. Now what do you do?
So we've approved, in your scenario, just so we're all clear, we've passed the tax, so the money's coming in, but Bellingham has bailed out of the interlocal agreement, because those are two separate things.
No.
Because we're not voting on the interlocal agreement. We're just voting, are you willing to spend 0.2% more sales tax to build a jail? And that's all it's going to ask. It's not going to talk about the nuances of which Bellingham's doing what we're doing.
Right. Yeah, the ballot's only going to have the sales tax measure.
Yeah.
But the agreement as it stands that follows the ballot is, this is how it's distributed.
Based on the agreement.
We said that should the voters decide to approve the additional sales tax, we, Ferndale, will turn around under the conditions of the interlocal and give so much of that money back to the county in order to pay off the bonds for the jail.
And what if Bellingham hijacks the interlocal enough where we don't like it?
They can't hijack the interlocal.
Right. The interlocal can only be changed if we decide to change it.
Yeah.
Six cities.
Right, six cities.
The six cities.
Bellingham could join in because the agreement, the interlocal agreement, doesn't specify what cities. But now, if Bellingham wants to come in under a different set of terms, a different deal, that's a whole different.
So we could say no, and then the other five cities could say yes, it's not happening because all six cities.
Correct.
Okay.
But what it was explained, or we thought we needed to clarify it, that that this is set in stone and this is the way it's going to be, and you can never change your mind and come back. Like, that isn't what we voted. You know, we never voted a set in stone, locked in, that never could happen. We voted this agreement. We've agreed on this vote. All of our councils agreed on this agreement. If you would like to come in and join that agreement, yes, we would allow that discussion.
Fifth or sixth bite at the apple. If you want it, take it. If you don't, have a nice life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And if they want a sweeter deal, I guess to use it, then that's a total different situation.
Has to be approved by small cities.
I attended the council meeting with the last one, with Jack and Bill were there, and they all had sort of different reasons. One would rather be property taxes, sales tax over goods. But it really was about money. And it was about money they don't yet have. Because it's about money that they're not going to get unless the thing passes. So it's almost, I sat there and I think they want to pass because they'll get that full sales tax. They don't have to make the agreement. But I think they've...
Well, and that's the premise. It never seemed to... It's really important that I hope people read our minutes and finally get this, is that if you pass it, Bellingham still gets funds. They can decide what to do with...
They can build their own jail.
they can do decide what they can do. They're still going to get funds. Whether and so I think for the voters, if someone in Bellingham thinks diversion is a great answer and they can keep their whole population out of jail, great. Here's the funds you have to do this from this measure. But if it doesn't pass, well, now none of us have funds to really realistically do, and we'll go along with what it is, and that will mean drastic. I think that's what Bill was trying to say, that you know, we're going to have to drastically reduce the population, and they're reduced first. So anyway, so that's the situation. I'll leave a announcement on Art in the Park to our council liaison. So I'll move right from mayor reports to council reports. Councilperson Goodrich was the hand up first, then Councilperson Ingram.
Two things. One, I'm glad the council decided to hold this meeting tonight on my 37th anniversary. So it's got me out of buying a dinner.
no, we didn't. Tape is on.
Yeah. So, dreamer.
Yeah. So it's 37 years, and we've known each other for 4 years beyond that. So we've been together a long time.
Congratulations.
The other thing is I heard on the radio today, and I don't know if this is something maybe the chief can follow up on with more information or whatever, but they came out with the rankings of marijuana sales, and that Whatcom County came in eighth. But they said that one of the things that I thought was an interesting comment that I heard was that they expected it to be higher, but the illegal marijuana business is actually prospering, and they get better quality for a cheaper price through the illegal market than through the new paying market. So
of course they do.
I thought that was an interesting comment, and I don't know how it falls in here with Ferndale, but we talked about that. You know, does the guy dealing out of the back end of this car going to impact? And according to this, it hasn't.
Talk to the legislature about the taxing.
Councilperson Ingram.
Well, I will let our liaison speak to one thing that's going on this weekend. Community meal is Saturday. We serve from 10 to 12, and Saturday is a pizza party. So if you like pizza, come and have pizza. On September the 13th, which is Sunday, down behind Mount Baker Imaging, which is just off Northwest Avenue, it is National Drive Electric Week. And you can come down there, and there will be approximately 11 electric vehicles for you to look at. Maybe not so much touch, but maybe you can get a ride in some of them. So we will be there with
don't
a red rock.
Huh? It's just don't ride with him. Still recovering.
Yeah, about that. But anyway, come down and enjoy Drive Electric Week. There's a lot of cars there. I think there will be two Model S's, but I think there's going to be four Leafs, and there's going to be a BMW i3, which I have never seen up close and personal. It's supposed to be a nice car with a ridiculous range, something like 70 miles or something.
No charge for the event?
No charge for the event. I don't know if there's going to be refreshments. I really don't. I'm not sure, but there may be. There may be.
Well, it should be like tasers, this electric event. Zap each other. Okay, fine. Councilperson Watson?
On that note, Art in the Park this weekend, Saturday 10 to 4, Sunday noon to 4. Going to have a lot of performing artists inside that you can buy things from. Some children's activities as well. And Sunday is the Kiwanis Golf Tournament. And if you want to do something with the golf tournament, let me know. I have a form for you. Filling up.
Great. Any other council reports? Oh, one more.
Just reminded me when you said Art in the Park, I do believe that this weekend will be the end of tours for Pioneer Park.
Oh, good.
Because normally we go to September 15th, but we were debating, because of that being a Tuesday, whether it just ended on Sunday or if they'll do the one more day. But so if you're in for Art in the Park, you can take a tour.
What hours will you be there?
It's 11. The tours are 11:30 to 4.
Okay. I'll put something on, because we're going to have demonstrations by the artists as well. I'll put something to let people know if they walk out the back door, they can get a tour of the cabin.
Good job.
$5 for an adult and $3 for
immature people.
No, it's actually a fee for the tour. The city sets the fee, and we charge it.
and we give the money back to the city. So it's $5 in a dump.
I thought it was suggested donation.
Not, well, if it is, we've been...
It's a vigorously suggested donation.
Are you not getting your money?
We're getting some money.
Oh.
You should be getting all the tour money.
Okay.
Which is not a whole lot because we don't do it necessarily. I've noticed the tours are kind of picking up.
Okay.
More this year.
I'll make sure there's something in the demo so they know.
Okay, so switching to staff reports, finance director.
Nothing.
City administrator / public works director.
Nothing.
Community development director.
Nothing.
Clerk.
Nothing.
Information officer.
Nothing.
Police. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All in favor, say by saying
aye.
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 Adjourn.